You know, I'm all for, you know, healthy living, healthy choices, eating right. And I really appreciate that. It seems lately a lot of even the fast food places are offering some like healthy choices, right? Have you guys noticed that? I mean, it's been for a while, you know. Like for instance, Wendy's last summer they had this amazing salad, and I say amazing, and I'm it really was really really good. I don't know if you had a chance to get it last year, but it was their strawberry chicken salad. It's got strawberries, fresh strawberries. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? And it is. It's like what? This is at Wendy's? So it's strawberries, and you've got the sweet strawberries with the salty bacon. And they're mixed in together. It's just, and then grilled chicken and this Italian cheeses and this champagne vinaigrette. And it all comes together, and it's just wonderful. And it gives you some healthy choices at some not so healthy places. And I like to be able to make those choices. But if I'm going to choose to order a medium fry, I don't want you to choose to make it more healthy for me. Is it just me, or are they cutting back on the salt? Like, they're trying to be healthy. I'm like, no, I ordered fries because I ate a salad yesterday. I want fries with salt today. I don't want soggy pieces of cardboard in my mouth, because that's really what they become without the salt. They're just, or if it's not less, it's without, and you don't, like, they time it just great, because you're on the road, you've left, you're on your way somewhere, and you reach in that bag of unhealthiness, and you put about four or five of those, well, I'm sorry, but two or three of those in your mouth. You got to start slow, right? Because you work up to about four or five, and you're just, oh, they didn't salt these. This is disgusting. So what? It's worse at McDonald's when they don't salt it. Yeah. Best fry. Okay. Well, then we can start into a debate on that. But oh my goodness. So but without it, you notice that it's not there. You notice that the salt is missing when it's not there, and that's unacceptable. It's disappointing. You know, I'm a big fan of Chef Gordon Ramsay. How many of you guys fans Gordon Ramsay? Yeah. kind of funny story on that. When I was when I had my hernia surgery and I was on oxycodone, is that what you take, right? My wife liked me a lot better when I was on that, but I made sure I didn't re-up the prescription because I think I liked being on that a little better than I probably should have. But so when I was I think it was not only, it wasn't the pill form. I think I was still, it was the day of the surgery. And I did something very dangerous. She had sent me a list of questions, you know, to get closer as a couple, you know. And she sent me this months ago. And I thought, well, since I'm laid up and she's having to hang out with me, then, because she couldn't go to work or do anything because I needed more attention than I normally need. and so I thought, well, we can answer these questions here. And that was dangerous because you're very honest when you're on those drugs. But one of the questions was if you could have lunch with any person, with any famous person, I think it was dead or alive, you know, who would it be and why? And immediately out of my mouth was Gordon Ramsay. And I didn't even know why. Like, just shot out. She's like, really? She said, that's interesting. Why? And I said, he just brings things out. Even though, you know, it's kind of the negative side, he gets passionate about things, and he's really a great leader when it comes to bringing people into the place they are. But I tell you what, if you're on, you know, a contestant on Hell's Kitchen, it's a lot different than being a contestant on Junior Chef, right? Like, we watched Junior Chef with the kids when they were younger, but we watched Hell's Kitchen when they went to bed, because it's just a different guy. And if you're on Hell's Kitchen and you forget to, you neglect the salt, right? Chef Ramsay's going to get salty with you because he can't take that. He can't take it. Salt is so very important. It is incredibly useful. What are some uses for salt? And this is going to get very interesting because some of you guys are going to hear things. You're like, what? Because some of you guys have, like, your grandma or your great-grandma, they use salt for such and such, right? So what are, that's Tammy shaking her head. Do you have one, Tammy? No, she's not going to speak up. Oh, okay, yes. Oh, wow. Just... Okay, so there you go. Helps with muscle soreness, the electrolytes. Yes, ma'am.
My mom, like when we're making dinner,
on everything. Well, yeah. Well, that's you got it. It does. It does make everything better. It brings out the taste in things. That's what salt does. Yes. Yes, you gargle with it. It is great for a sore throat or when you're coming off. Do what? Yes. Yeah. See, true confessions. Seriously though, you snort some salt before I spar, it cleans things out. You know, now I've moved on to more civilized. You know, they have the neti pot, which is, you know, you can hold that with one finger. It's a little better than getting some salt water. Just, you know. It just has a little more class to it. So, but yeah, it cleans things out. Salt cleans things out real well. Disinfects. Yes. Preserves. Yes. Back in the olden days, they would rub salt all over meat, and it would help keep the bad microorganisms off of it. And so, yes. It does. It does. You guys know that? It stops mosquito bites from itching. I learned that in some of my research as well. I was like, well, you don't say. So it stops mosquito bites from itching. Yes, sir? Yeah, yeah. In fact, if my understanding is right, that is the largest use of salt is on our roads during the winter. When we have winter and still winter and winter's almost over and then construction, right? Excuse me. Do you win? I should have had a couple little packs of salt as the prize here for the best answers. Those are really, really good answers. You know, and when you look at those golly, I had a handful of other little things. Oh, I had a couple that I discovered. Mike's a big coffee drinker. Did you know a little bit of salt will take the bitterness? Okay, yeah, he already knew that. He was on it. I should have known. He'd have known that. You can see if an egg is fresh or not. You guys heard that? You have salt water, and if an egg is fresh, it'll float. No, if it's fresh, it'll sink. There we go. Oh, don't take mine. Yeah. One way. It goes one way or the other. So if it's old and rotten, then it'll float. If it's good, it'll sink. Putting out a grease fire, you know, you heard of using baking soda for that, but salt also works well for that as well. And then this, Ryan, this is something that would have been really nice to know for all the weddings we've done in the 17 years I've been here and the many years you've been here before me, that you can take candles and put them in a salt water mixture, just regular candles, and then dry them off real good. And there's some, you know, you'll have to Google the actual mixture, but it'll cause, and this, we require dripless candles for weddings that use candles. But this will be great for anybody in your house or anything to keep the candle from dripping. It kind of puts a little coating on it and it makes the wax kind of stay on the inside. So, give it a try. I haven't tried that, but when I read that, I thought, man, that's pretty useful. So there are actually, from what I saw, there are 14,000 different uses for salt. It is a very useful substance. And so if you look at these, they kind of have these general categories that they fall under. So let's write these down. Some qualities of salt. Salt purifies. We were talking about the, you know, gargling with salt or as a disinfectant. Salt purifies. Whoa, they're jumping. Salt preserves. Salt preserves. We were talking about that. In the olden days, they would rub it on the meat, and they realized it would help the meat to stay good longer. So salt preserves. Salt seasons. We talked about that. Salt gets onto something, and it just makes it better. It's what salt does. Anything that gets a hold of it makes it better. Did you know that salt is essential for humans and animals? Humans especially, a little more than animals. Animals can do a little better with a lack of salt, but we cannot. This was pretty interesting. Salt is necessary for our nerves to transmit signals. If you didn't have salt, your nerves wouldn't be able to tell things what to do. Your brain wouldn't be able to tell your toes to wiggle. Just wouldn't be able to do it without salt. Salt helps our muscles to contract and release or relax. Contract and relax. There we go. Couldn't say those words together. You know, like what our heart needs to do to beat. So without salt, we wouldn't be here. Our heart wouldn't be able to beat because our muscles wouldn't be able to contract and relax. The adult human body contains about 4 salt shakers worth of salt. That's about some of the numbers I was looking at when I was talking to my son yesterday about this. From one of the places I saw, it says that the average human has about 250 grams of salt, which is about a half a pound of salt that makes up your body. Another place I saw that said that everybody is about 0.4% salt. If you had the quick math, if you had a 200-pound man, and if you just took 0.5%, just make it easy, to make it easy. So 1% of 200 would be 2 pounds, right? Half percent, or half of that would be 1 pound. So somewhere between a pound and a half a pound of salt per kind of average person, based on some of the things I was learning. Salt is essential for life then. It's not just something that just brings out the good in the food or helps a sore throat to heal or a bee sting or a mosquito bite. It's also, in addition to mosquito bites, I learned that it's good for bee stings as well. It's essential. Our nerves would not, our nervous system would not function without salt. Our muscular system would not function without salt. You know, Matthew chapter 5, we started a series 8-9 weeks ago on the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be venturing through the Sermon on the Mount from a couple months ago till into the fall. And we just finished up a series. It's all online, so you can go and listen to it if you want to get caught back up there, on the Beatitudes. And Jesus had opened up this famous passage of Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, with another famous passage of Scripture, the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are a list of unusual or unexpected blessings that belong to the believers in the kingdom of heaven. Those who have a poor spirit, they are blessed with kingdom citizenship, as are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Those who mourn will be comforted. The meek will actually be the successful ones. They will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Those who give mercy will receive mercy. The pure in heart will see God. The peacemakers will be called children of God. And then Jesus states that as kingdom members, there are a couple of very important roles that we are to have. And so as we continue on from the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." How many of you guys seen that logo? It's just everywhere. Salt Life. Yeah? Familiar with that? Hey, I had a misunderstanding on it. I don't know if I had some dyslexia, but I thought it said something different. I had the L in the wrong place and the A looked like a U, and I don't know how or why, but I was like, why are people riding around with that on their window? Like, that's bad. And then I saw it one day and I was like, wait a minute, that's a Salt Life. That's totally different. So, but Salt Life, you know, these guys, they're fishermen, they're surfers, they're into things of the sea. And they're passionate about that, and so they've started this company, and the logo's just become super, super, super popular. I want us to change our thinking. I don't want to steal too much from them and their product. But I want us to think about something different every time we see that logo because it's everywhere. I want us to think about our salt life, right? Not going to the beach, but that we are the salt. We are the salt of the earth. I mean, just look at those uses of salt that are right there in your bulletin. You know, the original listeners that Jesus was sharing the Sermon on the Mount to, they wouldn't have known all the scientific side of things, that salt's a necessary thing to be able to transmit signals between our neurons or to help our muscles to contract and relax. But I guarantee you, Jesus knew that, right? He made everything. He was there on the day of creation. In fact, John says nothing was made without him. He made everything. Jesus would have known all 14,000 uses of salt back then. When he says this, Jesus would have known precisely the value of salt. And so he chooses his words very wisely in his infinite knowledge and wisdom of our physical earth. So when we look at those uses of salt, when we think about what Jesus might have meant, you know, some people like to try and pick one or the other. What if Jesus just meant, here's what salt is, and it can be used in all these different ways, and that's you. I take it that way. You know, as salt of the world, we are to purify. We are to cleanse. As members of his kingdom, we carry God's principles and his morals into the world. We carry God's commandments and we carry Jesus' teachings. We preserve, we save, we keep from decay. Both our society and the individuals that make up that society, we are the element of preservation, what we're supposed to be. That's what we're told. You are the salt of the earth. We are to season the world. Salt brings out the good qualities in the food that it's sprinkled upon. Salt enhances other things by laying down and lifting them up. Well, that sounds like what a Christian should be, right? We are essential for life. That's what Jesus is saying. You are the salt of the earth. You are essential. You are necessary for life. God makes his appeal through us to mankind. We are his ambassadors, as we read in Scripture. We are his witnesses. We are his representatives, and we carry the message of life. We are essential as salt of the earth. Jesus also says that we are the light of the world. What are some qualities of light? Well, light gives us the ability to see clearly. You know, when you turn the light on in a dark room, you see all the things that you would have stubbed your toe on. You would have crashed your knee into. You would have knocked your head on. You know, sometimes when I'm not quick enough, when I go out in the garage, we have a refrigerator out in the garage. That's where we keep the waters because I'm a bit of a water addict. So I go out there often. And sometimes if I'm not quick enough to hit the light switch because I'm in need, like my water need is, like, you got to have it, like, and I'm running out of the garage and I miss the switch and the garage door closes and it's just pitch black. And I open the refrigerator and I grab water and I look and I try and take a mental picture. How many of you guys have done that before? Like in a dark room, you try and take a mental picture of what it looks like before you lose the light. And most of the time I can make it to the door handle without hitting something. If you saw in my garage, you would know what a challenge that is. I hope I'm not the only one that has a garage that looks like that. Light, when you turn light on, it helps you to see things clearly. It helps you see what's there and what's real. Light is also an essential source of life. We know that. Without light, we wouldn't be able to live. The things we eat wouldn't be able to live. The things we eat, the things they eat, wouldn't be able to live. Right? Life couldn't go on without the sun, without light. Jesus said that he was the light of the world in John's gospel. that he came to reveal God, that he came to illuminate God's morals and principles. He came to expose God's desire and plan for mankind to be restored to him through the gospel. Jesus revealed that the most important truths that are out there, and we are now Jesus. He says, you are the light. You are the light of the world. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that we should become the salt or we should train to be the light. It's simply what we are as kingdom members. You are the salt. You are the light. As soon as you give your life to Christ, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Let's write this down. The salt and the light are not something you become. It's something that you are as a part of the kingdom of heaven. And as soon as you're baptized into Christ, and you come up out of that water, filled with the Holy Spirit, forgiven of all your sins, you are the salt. That's what you are. It's that immediate. It's not, okay, now let's prep you. Let's get you ready. Because you need to become the salt. No. You are now the salt. You are the light. So go forth with the cleansing power. Be salt. Go forth with the cleansing power of the gospel story. You're the salt of the earth. Go forth with the revelation of who Jesus is and how we can have a relationship with God through Jesus. You are the light of the world. Go and preserve life by promoting God's commandments and Jesus' teachings. Go and reveal truth by holding out the principles and morals found in God's word. I don't want you to take my word for it. Let's go back and let's just revisit that real quick here. You, what's that second word? You are. It's not you will be. You will become. You will mature into, and there are plenty of other places in Scripture. It talks about Christians maturing and growing and becoming things, and there is a process that happens. But Jesus doesn't use that terminology here at all. In either place, does he? You are the salt of the earth, and then just a verse later, you are the light of the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the salt of the earth. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you need a breath mint. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, you are the light of the world. You are. Let's write this down as a commitment right here among ourselves here on a Sunday morning. Let's write this down as a commitment. Very, very simple phrase. I will be who I am in Christ. It's very simple. If we really absorb that and let that really sink in, that's a powerful, powerful statement for us on a Sunday morning. You are the salt. Be the salt. You are the light. Be the light. I will be who I am in Christ. Because I think sometimes we wait to become something and we're always waiting. We're never going to make it to some place where we feel like we're, you know, when Julia, is Julia? I thought I saw her. What? Okay. When Julia was like, hey, I'm playing piano every week. I could sure use a break. And I was like, I dabble. I dabble a little bit. But I stepped out. I said, all right, well, this is going to help you out. I'll try and get a little better. That takes a process. Sometimes we take that into our walk with being the light or being the salt. We say, well, I've got to get to some point where I can, you know. No. You are. Be who you are. You don't have to become the salt. You became the salt when you died in Christ. You are the salt. Be the salt. You're not developing into the light. You are the light. Be the light. Salt and light. That's what I am. It's not what I will be. It's not what I will become. That is who we are presently in Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ. And if today is the first day that you make a decision to follow Christ, if today is your day to be baptized into Christ, guess what? Today, when you're baptized into Christ, you are the salt. If you were baptized into Christ 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 70 years ago, you were the salt then, and nothing should have changed. There's no process to get there. Jesus says, all right, come and follow me, and here's what you are. It's that simple. Not, I'll teach you to be the salt. No, you are the salt. I want to teach you what that means. I want to help you to be better. But this is what you are. It's your identity. Golly, we look for identity in so many different places. Look for it in our family. We look for it in our job. We look for it in our hobbies. We look for it in our status. We look for it in titles. We look for it in our bank account. Jesus said, no, here's your identity. You are the salt. And salt's valuable. They would trade. They would use salt as a commodity to trade with. That's where the term came from. He's worth his salt, or she's worth her salt. Because it was actual currency, salt was. Because it was valuable. People have always understood through the years how valuable salt is. You're the light. You're the truth. You're the goodness in this world. That's who you are. Jesus is not using a metaphor. He doesn't say, if we pulled the scripture back up, he doesn't say, you're like salt. He doesn't say that, does he? You're like light. It's not a metaphor. He says, you are the light. You are the salt. We have to understand that we are necessary for life, church. Because both salt and light share that combined quality. They're both necessary for life. Life can't go on without them. We're necessary for God to share his hope, to share his truth, to share his goodness with the world around us. We need to understand that, church. As members of his kingdom, we are necessary. We are essential parts of this world for God. We are God's means of influencing the world. Oftentimes we read about Jesus. We might talk about Jesus in our Sunday school or in a small group. We listen to his teachings. We see what he does. We see where he goes. And yet in our life, we don't follow in the same places. There's just this huge separation. He's the light of the world. I'm just me. No. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. I want to challenge you to be a follower of Jesus, not just a follower in Jesus in word, but a follower of Jesus in deed, to go where Jesus would go. No matter how simple or how radical that would be, to say what Jesus would say in whatever situation you're in. Whatever circumstance comes up this week, to say, this is what Jesus would say here. Jesus says, let your light shine before the world that they might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Give glory to your Father in heaven. It's kind of interesting, right there. Right there is the first time in the New Testament where we see this very personal phrase used. Your Father. Kind of interesting place to put it, isn't it? At the introduction of here's what it looks like to be part of my kingdom, all the years of the Old Testament, and we turn the page into the New Covenant, and Jesus says they'll see the light, they'll see your deeds, and they'll praise your Father. Wow. We just read over that because we're so used to hearing it. Our Father in heaven. But imagine how new and how fresh, how personal that would have felt. And how it should feel to every one of us. Your Father. Which states without stating, we're his children. We're not just kingdom members, we're family members. We're God's children. And we've heard that a number of times in our life. But I want us to reflect on that and let it be fresh and new this morning. This very personal statement, this piece of scripture, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, it opens up the whole rest of the Sermon on the Mount. We had the Beatitudes, which are kind of like the preamble, the beginning of it. And now he's stating and we're getting into the meat of the Sermon on the Mount. And he opens it up with such a powerful statement, but also a very intimate statement. Here's what you are. If you've chosen to follow me, here's what you are. Are you going to be what you are, or are you going to return to what you were? If you've chosen to follow Jesus, that's what you are. You are the salt. You are the light. You are hope. You are truth. You are goodness. So take that to the world around you simply by being what you are. That's what you are. Our faith is to be made visible by actions. Jesus says you don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. You put it up on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. He said the things that you do, people will see those things that they do. They'll see your light shining and they'll glorify your Father. So let's make sure our faith is visible, church. Because it should be. It should be visible. We should put our actions up on a stand to bring light to the house. That's how we allow people to see who we are, what we're about. You are the light of the world. Show it. Don't hide it under a bowl. How are you going to bring hope to someone if they don't know that you're a source of hope? If they don't know that you're essential for life, who are they going to turn to when they have the questions that they might have someday? If you stay hidden, if you blend in, you got to put it up on a stand. And putting it up on a stand means you have to be visible. Your acts of faith have to be visible. And that makes us uncomfortable, some of us. Because that means accountability. I think that makes it doesn't matter if you're introverted, extroverted. I think that word makes any of us a little bit nervous. Because when you put yourself up on a stand and you say, here, I'm going to shine for Jesus, then people know who you are and there's more accountability in that position. There's more vulnerability in that position. It means we might get asked questions because they knew who to turn to. It means we might actually need to be involved in leading someone to Christ. Those are wonderful things, not dreadful things, church. Being the salt and the light, it means living outside of your comfort zone, not just stepping outside of your comfort zone. But now it's your place of dwelling is outside of your comfort zone. You live there. And we should ask ourselves on a daily basis, how can I be hope to others? How can I be truth? How can I be goodness to the world around me? And it's pretty simple. You just look at the properties that you have listed right there in your bulletin, the properties of salt and light, and you'll have your answer. You know, as this young lady said earlier, salt seasons. It gets on stuff and just makes it better. You're the salt to the world around you, so season your world around you. Those that you interact with on a regular basis, make it a better place. Figure out how you can bring out the flavor of others around you. So that's how salt seasons, doesn't it? I mean, salt's not about the salt. Salt's about whatever food it's on. Right? And all it does, it gets on that food. You salt, you season a nice steak, and you grill the steak, and you're eating that steak, and you're not going, the salt. You're going, the steak. You're at the state fair, and you got that butter-dipped corn. And that's pretty good on its own. I mean, that looks pretty tasty. Then you put some salt on it, it's like, it's even better. That's you, church. That's not just the salt at the state fair or at your grill out. You are the salt of the earth. You go and you just make everyone better by being part of their life. You bring out the goodness in them. You bring out what makes them good, and you accentuate that. You lift that up. You lay down to make them better. I want you to look at yourself in the mirror on Monday morning. I want you to look at yourself, and I want you to look yourself dead in your eyes, and I want you to say, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Because salt doesn't think about itself. Salt thinks about how to make others better. I mean, that's what Jesus did, didn't he? Everywhere he went, he just made people better. He brought flavor to their life by bringing out the flavor that was already in them. That's what he did for you. It's what he did for me. It's what he did across the scriptures. How else can we be salt? Well, we can strengthen others because salt preserves, doesn't it? Salt helps things to last. You can be a supporter, an encourager. You can be a source of preservation for those in your world around you by simple little things. Just by seeing, and you can see it when someone's wearing some of their heart on their sleeve. And sometimes we choose to walk by on the other side of the road, and they're not like sitting there bleeding and about to die. They're just, you can just tell they're having a bad day, and you're like, man, if I ask, I want to get it all. No. You're the salt of the earth. That shouldn't be a choice if I ask. They need to be lifted up. They need to be preserved. That's what my job is. That's what I'm here for. So get involved. Support. Preserve. Lift people up as they need to be lifted up because you're the salt of the earth. Assault them. I had to do that. Now, don't get me indicted for inciting, an insurrection now. So I want to be clear. That was just a salt joke. Be the salt. Go be the salt. Lift them up. Make their day better. Give them strength to preserve them through their day. Salt purifies. Take God's morals, his principles, his values into your world. Into all of the interactions that you have on a daily basis. We talked about this two weeks ago. Don't shrink back. The righteous will live by faith. Stand on God's values. Stand on God's promises. Stand on God's principles. Believe in them and share them wherever you go. When a door opens up for you to be the salt, be the salt. Don't shrink back. Salt purifies. And if it's not coming from the church, where is it going to come from? It's our job, church. It's what we're here for. Be the salt. Speak truth. Share truth. Be the light. You're the light of the world. You turn the light on, it reveals all the truth in the room. So share truth, because light gives truth. That's who you are. How can I do that on a daily basis? How can I live that out? It's pretty simple. You do what the Bible says, you put off falsehood. You know those little white lies? You get rid of them. You get rid of anything that would cause someone to think that you're anything less than 100% truth. Because when you give them reason to doubt your truth, they're going to doubt that you're the light, because light is truth. But you are the light. So be the light. Be the light that you are. Put off lies. Put off deceptions. You have no business messing around in the darkness. You are the light. That's why we're told numerous times in the New Testament to turn from our old self and to live in our new life. You are the light of the world. There's no place for dabbling in any darkness at all. Light lights. Your very presence should brighten a room because you are essential. You are essential for life. When you are the salt, when you season the world around you, when you give strength to those around you, when you live with morals and standards and principles based on a solid understanding of truth, then you will have value in your world around you. You will have value in the lives of everyone that you come into contact on a regular basis. You will become essential. You know, I've heard it used, the question for churches. You know, if your church didn't exist in the community, how would the community be? You know, how would that affect the community? Would they miss you? Would they even notice you're gone? You know, if we take that just to individuals and we reflect on that in our own life, if I weren't part of this person's life or this person's life or this person's life or this person's life, what would be different about their life? Because you're salt, you're light. You should be essential. And if you're not being the salt, if you're not being the light, then that's probably a good reason why you might not be essential. So just be what you are. You are, so be it. You should brighten the world around you. I just did one of those funky scrolls. Let's write this down. The salt is only effective when it is out of the salt shaker. The light is only effective when it is exposed and visible. You don't place a lamp under a bowl. You put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the room. You can't hide a city on a hill. You're the salt. If salt loses its saltiness, then its ability to be salt ceases. But that can be a very confusing statement because we understand salt doesn't have an expiration date. Salt doesn't really lose its saltiness. But I tell you what, if you leave salt in the salt shaker, it doesn't matter if it's salty or not. It's not doing any good. So be out there. Don't lose your effectiveness. Get out of the salt shaker. You have to be sprinkled around on the world around you to be who you are. You have to let your good deeds be seen so that they will glorify your Father in heaven. Everywhere you go, be the light, be the salt. I challenge you to do that. And watch what it does to people. Watch how you will become essential to their lives. Watch how it brightens their day when you walk in the room. Because you bring encouragement, you bring preservation, you bring purity with you. You bring seasoning. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Be who you are. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for these awesome words of your Son, making it very clear to us who we are as soon as we become members of your kingdom, as soon as we become members of your family. Father, I pray that this would land on our minds, that it would land on our hearts, fresh and new, that we would be reminded of the importance of being the salt and the light. That it's not even a choice. It's our choice was to follow you, and you said, okay, here's what you are. Help us to go and be who we are. Help us to connect with others in ways that seem tremendously simple, but so incredibly valuable in the world around us. Father, pray that we grow closer to you, that we would reflect you more. That as we are the light of the world, that we grow closer to you and your Son, that we know and understand what that means more and more, and that a deeper understanding of that grows in us. Father, I pray that for every one of us here, that you would open our eyes this week, that we would see opportunities, the countless opportunities that are presented to us in a 24-hour period to be what we are, salt and light to the world, to the earth. Help us to not only see those, but give us the courage to step into those. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Salt and light. I've always loved this passage. It's so simple. It's so clear, and yet it's so very powerful. I want to encourage you, Christians, be what you are. Don't shrink back. The world needs salt and light, and it's not going to come from anybody but God's people, God's children.